Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
First time ever I saw your face, I thought the sun rose in your eyes, and the moon.
Welcome to Freak State, everybody. I just realised what I'm going to tell Joe now, and I really shouldn't do this because, like this, you know, a lot of people listen to this podcast, and I'm just the fall guy. I'm just the person here to get abused, to be called many different things, and. But you've got to be honest as well. Yeah. You've got to be, as we said on Tuesday's episode, a fearless commitment to honesty.
That money was just resting in my account.
It's the only way.
Is that those naked pictures?
It's the only way to set ourselves free. I'm going to tell you this, Joe. I had a dream about Emma Little Pengelly last night. I think on the back of our last podcast.
Oh, do tell.
Well, it wasn't. There was nothing, you know, she was, you know, but you know, when you ever dream about somebody, it changes how you view, even if they're just like, she was walking along in a park, I think, with Michelle O'Neill. Michelle O'Neill was there too, but I was talking to Emma Little Pengelly. I was actually asking her, I think, to come on the podcast.
Even your dreams are boring. But I thought you were going to tell me something.
Well, yeah, no, but what I'm going to say is when you have a dream about anybody, even if it's something...
You can't label someone in a dream. I mean, just tell the truth. You've had sexual fantasies, haven't you? I can see it in your face.
No, but what I'm...
Don't lie to me.
What I'm saying is when you have a dream about somebody, it changes, you know, it enters into that area, no matter what. You know, it also... You wake up thinking, she's a very nice person. You start thinking... I don't know the woman.
No, I've never described a sexual encounter in that way.
I didn't say...
She was a very nice person. You're worse than Andrew Trim.
I also, you know, it's all kittens and
that
apple pie.
That is, without any doubt, the worst sexual fantasy I've ever heard.
I didn't tell... I said I had a dream. You've immediately turned it into something that it was not. And this is why, you see, if you're going to talk about fearlessness and the truth... You have to be more respectful of the truth. You can't just throw it back in my face and say, that's the worst sexual fantasy ever. I didn't say it was a sexual fantasy.
So you had a dream and she was walking along.
She was lovely. She was lovely. No, but anyway. Whenever you dream about somebody, something's going on. What the hell is going on, I said to myself when I woke up. I'm dreaming about Emma Little Pengelly.
You fancy her?
I just had a dream. All I'm saying is, and you know, people can analyse this any way they want. But
well, I think our listeners, members of the jury, I have no further questions for this witness.
I have volunteered all this information.
Oh, God, you have let yourself down today. You disgust me.
It shows the impact she's making. Lovely, lovely.
So talk about that, this impulse thing. And how trivial that sort of, in one way. Well, it is trivial. It's not real, you know, that sectarianism about the GA. It's trivial as well, you know, because we know that 50 of the most prominent loyalists have been going to GA matches courtesy of the Ulster Council for years. and been asking Ryan Feeney from the Ulster Council to set out a blueprint for a similar community organisation. How have we managed to achieve the cohesion, you know, the absence of criminality, all the things that the GAA has done, you know, with 600,000 members all through the country, you know. And, you know, these people, I think it was Susan McKay who said, like these are the lost people. Mm. You know, maybe it was Eamon McCann who described them as the lost tribe. But they are finding themselves, you know, and like there's a revelation in that. There's a freedom in taking your place alongside other people as equals, not as better than them, not as looking down on us, but as equals. There's an awful freedom in that, and a fun in that, and an excitement. I mean, one of the things that you talk about a lot, which I think about all the time, is how invigorating a multicultural society is. You know, the more people from the more places in the world with different dialects and languages and customs, the more enriched we all are. And it's not a cliche.
No.
You know, it's absolutely right. And so you think about how cordoned off the Northern Unionist has been. You know, the racism, you know, I might send a brown person to the shop for the messages, Peter Robinson famously said many years ago when he was asked about you know, equality and racism and things like that. I mean, like last year, on the way to the Derry Monaghan, the Ulster Championship came. One of the Derry boys was at the field where there was a Union Jack flying. Just a field away past. He climbed up the pole and everybody cheered. All the cars stopped. Everybody tooted the horn. He came back triumphantly with the Union Jack flag. Well, I mean, it caused a major incident. It was the front. It was the first item on the BBC Northern Ireland news. I mean, there was horror. And the DUP MLA Tom Buchanan, he said this was a hate crime, typical of the hatred that the GAA has for the Protestant people of the North, and these people should be sanctioned for this. And it's been reported to the police and inquired. The police said, "Just we hear this for a statement. I mean, this is the sort of nonsense." Police have received a report of the theft of a flag from the Gorchin Road area of Omagh on Saturday, April the 29th. Inquiries are continuing. What? We have devoted our best men to this. You know, inquiries are continuing, and at this stage, the incident is being treated as a sectarian motivated hate crime. You know, and I mean, that's the sort of level, you know. I mean, and this official statement on the DUP website. DUP MLA Tom Buchanan has spoken with the family who own the field about this incident. They are very distressed. This union flag was removed from supporters attending a GAA match in Omagh yesterday. We're parking nearby. A man entered private property and removed the union flag. This was theft and it's a matter for the police. There is also an issue of leadership. As the GAA crowd can be heard cheering as the union flag is removed. Any supporter found to be involved in this incident should be sanctioned. Seriously. I am writing to the Ulster Council, drawing their attention to this. I mean, honestly.
But that, again, comes from fear of the other and fear of the unknown, doesn't it?
You know, it's that sort of... But also, I think that, you know, it was fear of something that is a very powerful organisation that they don't understand, and that the worst thing for them was it's water off a duck's back for us. I mean, the idea that it would put a dent on us, you know. I mean, the GAA, look at our grounds in the north. I mean, people used to say down here, and I remember that fellow who was the Roscommon goalie, you know, sort of, you know, very uneducatedly talking about, you know, look what the Queen has done for the north, you know, look at their pitches and look at their floodlights and all of that, you know. Now he's since got a completely different take on all of that. But you had that in the south as well, this idea that, you know, the GAA up there, subversive and all as they are, and full of provos and all as they are, and tainted with provoism, they're milking the government. When in fact it was nothing of the sort. It was until the Casement Park project came along and the millions that were released by Feeney and others. You know, we were ignored. We were absolutely on our own. I mean,
there was no government funding before that.
None whatsoever. I mean, Gregory Campbell. I mean, the sort of thing that bedeviled the North, this sort of nonsense, was exemplified by the DUP and James McLean, you know, the famous soccer footballer.
Mm.
And, I mean, Gregory Campbell, for example, recommended that he be sacked because he tweeted that he loved the broad black brimmer by the Wolf Tones. The broad black brimmer, a colour spread, and so my everybody's here. I see the Londonderry-born footballer James McLean is up to his old tricks again, refusing to wear the puppy on his shirt, you know. And this sort of stuff, you know, I mean, Declan Boyle from my own club, my adopted club, St Bridget's, you know, who was in the SDLP at that stage, he proposed in some years ago that Belfast host a joint reception for the Northern Ireland and Republic of Ireland soccer teams, because they'd both qualified for Euro 2016, and the DUP were absolutely... Yeah. I mean, Brian Kingston from the DUP said, I welcome the success of four teams from the British Isles qualifying, but it would be inappropriate to hold a joint reception for the Northern Ireland squad or a team from another country. People from Northern Ireland can support whatever team they choose, but not a team from another country.
Well,
Brian doesn't even mention the Republic of Ireland. You know, it's like actors... In Macbeth, you can't mention the name of it. You call it the Scottish play.
Well, there's a Philip Roth phrase, the ecstasy of sanctimony, and that seems to be, I remember a friend of mine from South Armagh saying to me that actually, you know, when people are outraged in the north, it's usually not outrage at all. It's like we've got something here to feed our kind of negative energy.
Yeah,
and you know,
it is. It's a bit like the sort of, you know, we've seen these small groups going around now. You know, you fucking break your face, you fucking pay the foil, you're part of the global corporate shills. You know, there's an anger there, but that's not a systemic structural thing. You know what happened with the DUP. Was, you know, just the structural sectarianism and apartheid that was practiced, you know. I mean, I remember Wayne McCullough, who's from the Shankill, and Wayne won the silver medal at the Olympics, you know. Wayne had, like, famously the hardest head in world boxing. I mean, Prince Nazim had fought Wayne McCullough. And, like, Wayne was a sitting target. I mean, a tremendous work rate. Unbelievable work, but apparently had a head like an actual brick,
right? Yeah,
you know, and opponents reported, you know, how hard his head was when you hit it. And Nazim Hamed beat him on points, but beat him. And of course, Wayne never went down in his career and was always very plucky. And you know, he just had an extremely hard head like a rhinoceros. And Nazim Hamed was interviewed a few weeks later. He says, how did you feel about the fight? He says, had my fists ducked in a bucket of ice for 2 weeks. But whenever Wayne won a silver medal, Michael Cruth famously won the gold medal for Ireland. And both boxers celebrated it together, you know, because, as you know, the Irish boxing fraternity, there's not a sectarian bone amongst them. And the Dublin City Council hosted a reception for Wayne and Michael Caruth at headquarters down here. And Wayne then was invited to a reception at Stormont, but refused to go because they wouldn't invite Michael Caruth, because they said, no, he's a foreigner. He's not from here. And that sort of stuff, you know, that snideness, which was all very well, you know, they weren't going as far as to say, well, like, go out and shoot them, and they're fair game in the Troubles. But what they were saying was allowing that to happen. You know, it was more sophisticated language. I mean, Gregory, you know, used to call, if a team from the north played in the All-Ireland final against a team from the south, he would call it an international sporting event. That sort of stuff, you know. I mean, the DUP's Ian McRae, you know, great to see Tyrone beat in the Ulster semi-final today. Hope Donegal beat Londonderry in the final to keep the celebrations out of my constituency. You know, Jim Wells. Did I ever tell you the Jim Wells story?
No.
About the time we had the organ donation day?
No.
So myself and Shane Finnegan at that stage, you know, were very seriously lobbying Stormont and lobbying the government here to change the organ donation laws, and ultimately they were changed in the north, and then just a few months ago the new laws were introduced here after sort of 11 years of lobbying and, you know, amendment and all the rest of it. But we were very committed to this, you know, very, very passionate about it. Because we had seen the life-saving benefits of organ donation and had begun to understand, you know, the problems and the need to demythologize it, because people were very afraid of what would happen if you gave an organ when you were, you know, obviously your life was no longer viable, that you might not go to heaven, that you couldn't go with Mr. Organ. You know, there were all sorts of misconceptions. The church had been latterly very fervently opposed to it. We'd got the Archbishop involved, and, you know, we had a whole campaign through the Catholic Church as well to change all of this. So we had a big organ donation day, and Jim Wells was the health minister. And Jim's a very fundamentalist DUP member. I mean, he was so extreme that he was eventually suspended by the DUP. What the fuck do you have to do to be suspended by the DUP? But anyway, Jim, who had sort of courted scorn, he had asked for GA clubs to be banned from fundraising at supermarkets, things like that, you know, kids going like that. But he was invited. We invited him, and we invited Peter Robinson and, you know, the DUP top brass. And it was a big event. You know, all the politicians from all the parties came. Shane was head of sort of PR at Aiken PR, and he knew how to do these things. So it was a very expertly organised event. And there was a huge interest in our story, just our human story. And we took advantage of that to try and save lives, you see. So anyway, Tim came, and I was very effusive meeting him, and I already knew Peter Robinson very well, and Jim was the Minister for Health, and myself and Shane had a talk about it. I said, look, you know, we better give him his place here. He's the Minister for Health. And Jim asked him, I said, look, we're absolutely delighted that the Minister has taken time out from his busy schedule to be here, and we'd love you to say a few words, Minister. So up he came. He's a big man. And I said, well, that's a great pleasure to be invited here by the Londonderry footballer, Joe Brawley, who brought the Samuel Maguire Cup to the United Kingdom. And it's always good to see a United Kingdom team doing well. And, you know, there was like uneasiness in the room. There was maybe 200 people there. There was uneasiness. Everyone felt uncomfortable. Jim then went on to speak about organ donation, and I thanked him warmly, shook hands with him, but it destroyed the event. It lingered in the air because people were very, very uncomfortable, you know. And that sort of discomfort and antipathy that engenders, you know, is what keeps sectarian conflict going, you know.
But wasn't it very hard for people on all sides to have, or is it easy to understand a lack of generosity at times when, you know, you've been the victim of violence, you've been the victim of killing, your community has suffered as you see it.
People in that situation do understand it better, but you can also, you know, I mean,
like, we can all look at it and say, right, the way out of this is,
but you have to get to the truth. That's the point about it. You know, people have to be honest. You know, that's why I think, you know, for all the enormous, absolutely enormous achievements of Gerry Adams, like enormous, he was looking for peace long before anybody was looking for peace. He was looking for the political path. You know, people still have that doubt. They say, you know, I mean, you look at the difference. Like Martin McGuinness, people say, look, you know, well, you know, he admitted that he was the IRA, he didn't stand back from it, he's apologized. He's talked about the hurt caused, you know. You know, is that lingering doubt? Like Gerry Adams, you know, no, I was never in the IRA. There seems to be a mountain of evidence to the contrary. I mean, I don't know what the truth of it is one way or the other, but it has damaged him. That absence of honesty at the centre of things is extremely important.
Yeah.
You've got to drill down, and you've got to get to the truth before you can have meaningful reconciliation. And that's what's happened in the North. You know, regardless of the media, the way we were presented, all of those sorts of things, you know, my community has honestly looked at itself and and been unflinching in that regard.
In what way?
Well, like, for example, you know, Michelle O'Neill hasn't disowned her own people or lied or anything like that. You know, she has stood by what happened. She has stood by her own community, and she has led her community. You understand me? Like, they have.
But you see, all the other people would see that.
They're saying, look, you know what? We did do a lot of bad things. Mm. My community and people in my community killed people, and we're guilty of horrific. We're guilty of horrific things, right?
Mm.
Okay. But here we are now. And we want to do business honestly with you, and we're not going to stand. And until now, you know, okay, you had Lord Trimble who sacrificed his political life to get the peace because he knew it was worth it, you know.
Yeah.
And he honestly spoke about the problem that killed him. I mean, when Protestants heard the language of reconciliation that he spoke and talking about our faults, hey, we're not coming to this blameless. You know, we had a sectarian state here. You know, and we have a lot to answer for. I mean, that was his death knell. He's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, he is gone. But his honesty and the fact that he met it the way that he did, sure, it destroyed him politically. And, I mean, it was a cavalcade for the DUP.
When he said it was a cold house for Catholics.
Peter Weir, Arlene Foster, yeah, all of that. Peter Weir, Arlene Foster, all those opportunists who jumped to the DUP then, rejected the Good Friday Agreement, rejected the peace agreement. You know, that was the difference between honesty and false opportunism.
Yeah.
You know the point I'm making?
Yeah, I do. But like you say, you're talking about the kidney donation. When you said previously that you donated it in part to make amends for the taking of human life by people close to you.
Yeah, I think that's like, it's very hard when you look back to be certain about why you did things.
Mm.
Genuinely, unless it's something that's quite straightforward. You know, unless it's something like, for example, you know, my wife is very ill with whatever is. I'm going to donate her this for that reason. Yeah, and that's a simple thing. But for me, it was perplexing for people because there was no apparent external motivation or anything that would have impelled me. It wasn't part of any appeal. I wasn't asked by anybody. You know, it was just something that I did at a time, you know, when I was trying to figure out my place in the world. And, you know, you have to sort of guard against looking back sentimentally and trying to provide romantic reasons for it. You know,
I do feel that
definitely a part of it was the underlining the sanctity of human life and the no go of taking a human life of creating an example. I think, you know, I mean, Paddy Heaney always said about it. Paddy said, "Well, you're a fucking extremist. Like, if you wanted to change the organ donation laws, you should fucking do some lobbying like everybody else. You know, you get a fucking kidney, like, you know." And Paddy always said I was an extremist, whatever I was doing,
right?
You know, but
then what I'm getting at is there's an honesty in that statement as well, like, because
I believe that the statement was true, and I still believe that the statement is true. You know, because we were in the middle of it and don't give and all of that was happening. But I think in a way it's why, you know, some of the broadcasters shy away from people like me, because the truth can be very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I remember whenever Tyrone won their first All-Ireland. And what an occasion it was, like, for a county that was, like, really a very oppressed, poverty-stricken county, you know, that was under the thumb, like, under the thumb. And where you had, you know, so many young people joining the IRA, and, I mean, they suffered more than any county, as I recall. And when they won their first All-Ireland, you know, which was an example of the GA, the self-help, they had a 10-year plan, like, all the big Tyrone contractors, all the now extremely well-educated people in Tyrone, you know, people like Fergal, I mean, Brian Duher, their current managers, good example. Fergal Logan, one of the leading solicitors in the North. Brian Duher, now the chief veterinary officer for the North. you know. So there isn't people, if you like, they win the 2003 All-Ireland, an enormous statement to the outside world. We are here and deserve to be respected, and we will be respected. And what a magnificent sort of community the Tyrone community is. But when they won that, there was a bit of graffiti went up about Tyrone Sam 2003. You know, all that, just as we say. Arlene Foster. The ghastly Arlene Foster. She wrote to the UK's Department of Regional Development to get the estimate for removing Welcome Home Sam signs in the area. Welcome Home Sam. And she said these were despicable sectarian signs and an unwanted burden on the ordinary decent taxpayer of Tyrone. And she said that the GA should pay the bill for the removal of the signs, which she said was estimated at £1,000. Why, it's not just nick them like the Derry GA fans, you know. And I mean, like, you know the and the way society is changing now in the north. I mean, it truly is extraordinary. I mean, you know, there's a great joke, Dr. Paisley, Ian Paisley Senior. You know, we know that the journey that he went on, and he was transformed at the end. And as soon as he started to show signs of real reconciliation and of great friendship with Martin McGuinness and Gerry Adams, etc., you know, that was the end of him. He was destroyed by the DUP from within. You know, so you know, Dr. Paisley, he's cryogenically suspended, you see, and he is then woken from that cryogenic chamber. And he's greeted by his 80-year-old son, Ian Jr., you know, who's now decrepit and elderly. And he embraces his father, you know, who's a huge man. Ian. And his father says, "Son, where am I, son?" He says, "Dad, you've been frozen for 25 years, you know. It's just amazing to see you alive." And he says, "Oh, well, any news?" He says, "Well, I've got good news and bad news." What's the bad news, son?" says Senior. He says, "Michelle O'Neill is the, I don't know how I can tell you this, Dad, she's the democratically elected leader of a 32-county republic." "Oh, no, son, I cannot believe it." He says, "What's the good news?" Junior says, "Linfield have just beaten Cliftonville in the All-Ireland final, 3-11 to 2-6. And you look at the North now, and you look at Tim Allister and his wee boy, and there he is, suddenly alone and palely loitering.
Yeah.
You know, La Belle Dame sans merci. "Oh, what can ail thee, knight at arms, alone and palely loitering? The sedge is withered from the lake." No.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Birds sing. And where Jim is now.
You see, that's the extraordinary thing about what my dear friend Emma Little Pengelly has done. In that, you know, she...
You are a dark horse.
She just... Horse. But no, but it is extraordinary.
What was she wearing?
She was just wearing her, you know...
Just
her normal politician's
clothes.
If only
the listener could see him now shifting left and right. Won't look me in the eyes, looking left.
No, but what I'm saying is it's extraordinary how...
Paint the picture for the
extraordinary how quickly this has happened. Not my dreams. My dreams are tied up with the future of the people in Northern Ireland. But it's amazing that once you... Like, this sense of everything was suspended, nothing is happening. Suddenly, you know, Michelle O'Neill and Emma Little Pengelly go in there and there's just this... And again, that sense of symbolism that these things are being done, and you feel right. There's why? What were we waiting for? What were people waiting for?
We were waiting for unflinching honesty, to stop lying, to stop hiding behind slogans and sectarianism and nonsense and propaganda. We were waiting for the BBC to start reporting the news honestly. You know, we were waiting for the truth, because that in the end is the only way to proceed.
Mm.
You know, and I mean, like you listen. This week to the last remaining Alastrosaurus, who was in OE Orange Hall with the sole remaining Brysontosaurus. The two of them, you know, the last remaining creatures of their species. And Jim Alastair saying the DUP fawning over the GA and Irish language all in one day, meanwhile implementing an Irish sea border. No wonder nationalists love this new treacherous DUP. You know, in a half-empty Orange Lodge with people all over 60 and 70. You know, some may abandon their opposition to the sea border, but you just must not. The invisible sea border.
Yeah.
Suddenly, who cares about that? I mean, whenever I want to just spend a moment giving credit here. Neil Britton, who came from Ulster Rugby and also from the IFA, he is the head of sport now in BBC Northern Ireland. And he is helping, you know, to revolutionise BBC Northern Ireland. Not just sporting-wise, but in terms of, you know, their political embrace of all communities. I call him Great Britain, which he laughs at. But he's a terrific fella.
She laughed the first time.
He's a terrific fella. But, I mean, whenever he very seriously started to pursue the GAA contract, which was the first time the BBC had ever done it, so in sort of October 22, the BBC took a 5-year agreement, right? Vastly expanding their GA output. You know, live coverage of the All-Ireland semi-finals and finals in both codes. The entire Ulster Championship. Selected games outside of that. You know, and at the same time, which I suppose is a symbol of how things have transformed in the North so quickly, the BBC, for the first time ever, dumped the live coverage of the 12th of July. You know, and Jim said that the BBC have dumped the largest cultural event in Europe.
Okay.
The All-Ireland Final, and replaced it with reruns. He says, "And replaced it with reruns of Bargain Hunt." and other content of similarly questionable creative merit.
Okay. It's a kind of a cell phone when you
I mean,
they've dropped us for Bargain Hunt.
That's it. He says, you know, and furthermore, Jim said. I mean, Jim was a barrister. Like, furthermore, he says, I see nothing, only students wearing GAA jerseys to university, which is creating a substantial chill factor for Protestant people. And you know, all that stuff about, you know, naming GAA clubs after terrorists and all that old stuff, which is only just used to heighten sectarian tensions. You know, that's why what Emma Little Pengally has been doing, what Paul Given has been doing, are of the utmost importance. Because all of a sudden, you're a Protestant person and you're watching Emma Little Pengally up at St. Paul's, right? And everyone enjoying her, everyone enjoying the fun, you know, her, you know, for the first time ever, using a hurl.
Mm. And she wasn't bad.
Oh, you've definitely got it bad, Fanny.
She's better than... Did you ever see Leo Varadkar hurling? Did you ever see that shot of Leo Varadkar hurling? Leo. You know, so she's better than Leo Varadkar.
But sure, I mean, Leo famously thought it was 5 points for a goal in Gaelic games.
Yeah.
But that's why you imagine... imagine you're a wee... Oh, my God. She's wearing Union Jack lingerie, yeah? So what are we...
These are your fantasies
how bad
now.
How bad is this deal?
You're now giving your own... sharing your own fantasies.
But... You think of Protestant people in the Shankill or that watching the BBC News, watching this and watching the obvious fun that she's having and knowing her credentials, which is very important. I mean, this isn't sugar. Her dad was a loyalist gunrunner, responsible for countless deaths, you know. And they look at that and they say, you know what? What's there to fear here? What is there to fear here? They look at Charles Burns, you know, wearing an orange scarf, standing for God Save the King at Windsor Park. Michelle O'Neill, an avowed Republican from Cull Island, standing for what's called Clonoe. They don't like it when you say they're from the island. Clonoe woman, standing for God Save the King respectfully, and doing all the other things that she's been doing. These things are of... they could not be more important. I mean, the last great symbol in the North was Ian Paisley and Martin McGuinness whispering each other's ears and laughing at press conferences together and enjoying each other's company hugely. Then Peter Robinson and Martin McGuinness. But then since the big freeze, since Peter Robinson was destroyed and Arlene Foster came in, etc. Since the big freeze, these... and nothing is going to match this, because this now takes us into the era, for the first time ever, of real politics. And there's no going back, because the Ice Age is upon the Alastrosaurus and the Brysontosaurus. It's all over, brother. I tell you that joke about Ian Paisley Sr. Give it 10 years, brother.
That's the one thing I wonder. Like, once there's some sort of stability, that everyone can be happy with each other's symbols and cross-cultural reference points. So, but, you know, change is still going to be difficult.
Yeah, well, the establishment down here are now peddling the line. I mean, you see this, for example, in the Irish Times editorial last week, you know, that the Ireland 32 Forum, you know, James Nesbitt, all the people who've been coming in, all that sort of work, that should be the work of governments, but all that great work that's going on. And they travelled to America over the last 2 weeks. Actually, I was telling you about the texts they were sending about listening to the podcast, and Irish America listening to the podcast. You know, the Irish Times editorial, you know, the Ireland 32 sounds suspiciously like a Sinn Féin manifesto. Okay? So we're seeing this sort of propaganda, although I have to say, my favourite ever, sort of Sinn Féin propaganda story. I don't know if you've got to remember this, was Neil Francis's column in the Sunday Independent. Perhaps the greatest, the funniest column I've ever seen. Why Sinn Féin will ruin schools rugby in Ireland.
Well, everyone's
so
fears.
So you see, they're, you know, this is all the stuff now, you know. And
everyone's and fears needs to be acknowledged. We need to, you know, and if Neil Francis had these fears.
Yes, because we don't want to scare the little kittens either. Mm-hmm. But that sort of little kittens propaganda piece, the puff piece that... That RT did with Andrew Trimble, you know, that is absolutely worthless in terms of our advancement. You know, and I'm sure Andrew's a nice fella.
He's a lovely fella.
Yeah, I'm sure he's a very nice fella. You know, I have absolutely nothing against him. But that is absolutely useless insofar as the advancement of society here. You know, it's safe, it's establishment, it's elitism, it's Sinn Féin will ruin schools rugby in Ireland.
Well, let's hope not. As we go forward.
Hashtag team of us.
Yeah, but we don't want that to happen. And there's a lot we're going to talk about over the next while about various things to do with this, because when you talk about the future and how hopeful it is, and you talk about honesty, there's been a lot recently about the past as well. We've talked about the Legacy Act. You had Operation Canova coming out, the report about that, which we're going to talk about, because when you talk, and I've been reading a lot about it, and you know, I've been reading Richard O'Rourke's book, Steak Knife's Dirty War, and when you talk about the dirty war, it's extraordinary when you get into it, just what, just how, like, I think it was John Stevens who said, I've never found myself caught up in such an entanglement of lies and treachery. It's just, for people in the South who kept themselves at arm's length from it, I think it's just such an eye-opener.
The first rule of propaganda, the first story that you put out there is what's going to be believed. And once you take control of the media, if you're going to do what the British did in the North, and then you're going to do what the Unionist majority did to us in the North, you take control of the media. That's the first thing. You know, because once that consistent message is going out there, it's very difficult for people to discern the truth. That's exactly what happened in the South. You know, about 1971 over, take control of the media, right? Take control of the narrative and lie. Just let me finish this. Lie to people. And lying prolonged the agony of the Troubles for decades. Lying and demonising and refusing to be honest, refusing to face the truth, because in many cases the truth was too unpalatable to face, you know. And that's why the truth is so important. We have young people listening out there, people of any age out there listening, you know. When people say that you're controversial, and that's what people say about me, oh, he's controversial, that's how the media always describe me, and the controversial pundit, Joe Brawley. What the fuck is controversial about me?
I would say killing prolonged the agony of the Troubles as well, but let's...
Yes, but all those things are locked in together, because now we're not going to speak to them because, you know,
they're
demonic murderers, and we're the good team. We're the good team, and we're only here to keep peace between the Catholics and the Protestants.
But I think we will get into this again, because when you go into Operation Canova... No, I understand
the fundamental problem. The fundamental problem of any of these conflicts is the dishonest presentation of them. The wedding to propaganda and the sticking to that propaganda and the refusal to deal honestly with the problem.
Yeah.
Once you can get through that, once you start to deal honestly with the problem, what do you end up with? Northern Ireland. What we've got now there. We're going to have an absolutely flourishing society, you know, as soon as we join forces with the South, whatever format that takes. We're going to be an economic powerhouse as well. Get on the Ireland 32 train, baby.
Emma Little Pengelly for Taoiseach.
I will intervene with the Sinn Féin top brass to ensure that Irish schools rugby is left untouched in the devastation that Sinn Féin are going to cause.
Thanks everybody for listening. You've been listening to Free State. Thank you, Joe.
Love the sweetest thing. What else on earth could ever be? Such happiness to everything as love goes for you. Love is the strangest thing. No song of birds upon the wing shall in our hearts more sweetly sing. And love no story.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news/adfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.